5. Loading. 4.
Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer is winning.
3. Almost there. 2.
Cross. And Dempsey's tonight again. And Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this?
1. Here we go. Now. Introducing Sunday League Finest Podcast with your host, David Donis and Roberto O.B. Hernandez.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Sunday League's Finest. Guys, I know we experienced a little bit of technical difficulties last week, but hey, just bear with us. If the Super Bowl's allowed to have technical difficulties, so are we. David, everybody's under my voice. Let them hear your beautiful voice.
Please send all complaints to Obi's direct email.
It's bigpapichulo@hotmail.com.
Nah, but yeah, forgive us, y'all. We are so excited to be in the same room, and unfortunately, we had some technical issues. But you know, it happens, especially you know with technology these days. It just can't be perfect. But you know, we were able to send out a revised podcast, so hopefully, you guys checked it out. But we're here. Recapping what happened this weekend with soccer, a lot of leagues having their last games of the year until August. I'm excited. Let's talk some soccer. How was your weekend, first of all?
Weekend was good. You know, Saturday, enjoyed some soccer. Didn't enjoy all of it because of the way the games went, but enjoyed it. Sunday, I had a undefeated weekend as a coach, so 3 games, 3 wins. It was pretty good. And yours?
Get it, Papa.
Yeah, how was
yours? That was a good weekend. Very chill, man. I kid you not, Saturday, bro, I stayed in the bed all day. I didn't get up till like 6 at night or something like that. I just, me and the fiance wanted to just have a lazy day. We got Chick-fil-A. But yeah, watch some soccer. And Sunday was fun. We had a cookout, barbecue. Obviously, we had the United game. And then after that, we had the Hawks get the first playoff win, first time being in the playoffs in 2017. So it was fun watching Spike Lee be depressed after the Knicks loss.
Sounds like a fun weekend and pretty good food, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, really good food. Hey, did you watch the main event with Cody Garbrandt?
Yeah, I did.
He's done, right, Mijo?
It looks like it, or it looks like they might put him against a sugar show. So we'll see what's going on there.
Yeah, MMA is just one of those crazy sports where you can go from being a champion, and then if he's on a four fight losing streak, right?
Yeah, it's been
pretty bad run, and once you lose three, I mean you're pretty much about to be cut if you don't do something. This was Cody's opportunity to do something. He just got completely destroyed I think he maybe won one round and he got destroyed the rest.
Yeah, I agree with that. And speaking about destroying and being on the hot seat and potentially getting cut, well, there's a lot of that in the MLS this week. So it's time for the MLS recap. It's time for MLS Roundup. All right, David. So let's kick it off like always, dude. We got to kick it off with Atlanta United. Let us know how they did. Was there any duds on their team? Anybody that you expected to perform better?
Well, it was interesting because coming into this game, I didn't really know what to expect because obviously Seattle's the best team in the MLS right now. They beat LAFC and LA Galaxy pretty easily.
Just love to remind me, huh?
Yeah, I just have to. So it was interesting because I was like, well, Atlanta is a very possession-heavy team, but Seattle is the best team in MLS, and they're at home. So I wanted to see how this was going to play out, if it was going to be an open game back and forth, or if it was going to end up like most of the United games where Atlanta has the ball for long stretches of the time, and then the opposing team is defending pretty deep, and then Atlanta's just trying for 90 minutes to get through that block. And except for the goal that Seattle scored in the 6th minute, which obviously is really bad, it's pretty much played out like that, where Atlanta United had long stretches of possession. Seattle was bunkered in pretty deep, looking for the counter. So it was one of those games that was pretty frustrating for a large majority parts of the game. I think with the United, because of the style they play, it's very important not to give up that first goal. I cannot stress that enough. Because once that first goal comes in, it just makes it easier for the opposing team to just sit further back and not really have to go and get the score on the other end. But anyways, frustrating. We were hoping for that ball to penetrate, and then finally came in the 85th minute, and a ball over the top, which I was calling for. And I think, Obi, you've mentioned that in previous podcasts, and when the defense is that tight, sometimes you got to throw some balls over the top just to give us something different to look at. And sure enough, came from a center back over the top, a beautiful ball. He gets taken down the box. Penalty comes up. Who else but Joseph Martinez that takes it, gets the goal. And after that, the last 10 minutes were pretty intense because Seattle wanted another goal. United wanted another goal. There was, I think, like 7 or 8 yellow cards in this game. A lot of fouls, a lot of when somebody would break away, either Seattle or United would just pull the player down and have just a yellow card immediately. So the last 10 minutes were really exciting. I can't complain. It was a 1-1 draw. Any points against a team like Seattle is always a positive, especially away from home. So I have no complaints about it other than we just need to be creating more chances, and we're really missing Barquito.
So now that you heard the bias side, the real story is that Atlanta sucked and Seattle should have won. No, I'm just kidding. You kind of said it at the end. Was it purposeful possession, or was it kind of, again, meaningless where they kind of had possession and didn't create the chances?
Right. I mean, there was some meaningless possession. I think the difficult thing is, when the defense is that tight and there's just so much risk when you start to push numbers forward, right? That I think you do need your center backs to make those moves and maybe somebody backfill, or you need your midfields to start creating and to make those sooner passes. Instead of making 2 or 3 passes, you need a quicker ball to switch sides. And I think that's where we're missing Barco. That's been a continual issue that we've been having, that we're just not creating the chances. We have the possession, but again, possession is meaningless without having the fear of a scoring opportunity. But let me ask you something, Obi. Do you think it is the way that Atlanta United plays that makes team play in this defensive shape, or is it the other way where teams know the way Atlanta United play, so they're already thinking about playing defensive? Is it like a chicken or the egg thing? Which one do you think it is?
Well, when it comes to Seattle plays that way no matter what.
But not that defensive, though. Even when I watched the Galaxy game, it wasn't that defensive.
I argue they do.
I'm talking, it was 63% to 37% possession, and Atlanta United had almost double the amount of completed passes in Seattle. Is that normal for other games?
That's the thing. Seattle plays in that way every single time. However, a team like Atlanta United is able to exploit it a lot more, so they ultimately have more possession. Teams that go in like Galaxy, that Seattle's still going to sit back, but Galaxy isn't a team that's going to boss possession around, so they're going to give up the ball a lot more to Seattle. So I think it wasn't anything. I guess you could say it's a little bit of both. Seattle plays that way, but Atlanta United expose it a little bit more since they're more possession based. When it comes to the rest of the league, I think it's more the fact that I don't think they changed to play defensive on purpose. I just think Atlanta United dictates it, kind of how like Man City dictates it. I do think there are a couple teams in the EPL that obviously just sit and park the bus, but I think majority of the time when a possession based team rolls into town, they're going to dictate it and the opposition is forced to play that specific way.
So to clarify, you're comparing Atlanta United to Manchester City.
I'm comparing them to a possession-based team. Nowhere near the level.
I'll just mess with you. No, I get you. But, yeah, 1-1, I think it was a fair result. In MLS, as long as you draw away and you win at home, you're in a pretty good spot to make a playoffs. I think we sit in fourth currently. Nothing to complain about. But
survey says fifth.
Okay, because we had some games afterwards, so I think that changed some things around.
Yeah, but you guys are in sixth, and I mean, in third and first place, they have a game in hand over you guys, so it's fine. You guys are doing really well. I thought Joseph, obviously cold-blooded, converted the PK. Well done to him.
Yeah, but Mijo, tell me about Galaxy.
My beloved Galaxy. Well, I'm going to keep it short and sweet this time. Galaxy came out. wasn't really creating like a ton of chances, but were dominant in possession, were the stronger team, I believe, for the first maybe 30, 35 minutes. And then the red card came in about, I think, like the 40th minute or 38th minute. First of all, the red card, was it nasty? 100%. Was it a red card? 100%. However, when you look at it, Derek Williams didn't go in. I'm not excusing the red card. I'm saying he didn't go in looking to hurt the player. He went in looking for the ball. He mistimed it badly. And, yeah, it was nasty the way the player, you know, he hit the player. Now, there was no argument from him. Everybody knew it was a red card. And that's, I think, the biggest thing is, like, when you're listening to the commentators, well, not Taylor Twellman, he was fine with it, but a couple of the other people are overreacting on Twitter, like, oh, Derek Williams is so nasty, dirty, you know, he's trying to kill the player, and it's like, nah, it wasn't like that. Now, granted, there probably will be a suspension a little bit longer than one game, but anyways, that being said, Galaxy were doing decent, and then they fell apart, you know, the red card right before halftime. Then coming out in the second half, what really hurt him was conceding the goal in the first, I think, like 70 seconds of the second half. Because basically when you're down 10 men, you're going to hit off the counter, right? The other team's forced to go. But now that Portland was up, Galaxy was forced to open up and try to go for the draw. And we got exposed a few more times. So, again, the highlight, I guess, is Jonathan Bond. He had another good game. So I guess that's the beauty of it. But, yeah, it's definitely a rough outing for the Galaxy.
A good game, even though he's got scored on three times.
Yeah, dude. There's goals where you can't do anything about it. That right there is a typical non-goalkeeper mentality. I forgot who said it. They said, hey, don't worry. As a goalkeeper, there's always going to be a non-goalkeeper to tell you how to do your job better.
Damn.
Yep. But, yeah, not a beautiful outing, so I kept it short, sweet. But I think we'll bounce back this week. We got our Cali Clásico against San Jose Earthquake. So, should be a good one. They're kind of not doing too well. I think they lost three in a row. So should be a good one. Hopefully we're able to bounce back at home and take the W.
Yeah, and for United, we have Nashville at home at 3:30 on Saturday, Eastern Standard Time. So that'll be a good game. Obviously, we know how rivalries go in MLS. Sometimes you make them up. Sometimes they just formulate on themselves. So we'll see, considering Nashville is the closest team to us. But, you know, there's not really a beef between Tennessee and Georgia or Atlanta and Nashville. So I mean, we'll see how that works.
Since you already kind of brought up Nashville, you know, right now they haven't conceded a goal in over 400 minutes. They're currently undefeated. They haven't won all their games, but they're undefeated. Two wins and I think like four draws. And who other than the center back pairing of Walker Zimmerman, which I thought LAFC was dumb to get rid of, and then Dave Romney, dude, ex-Galaxy center back, when we were experiencing all these bad times, you know, I kept saying Dave Romney and Stairs was our best pairing. Not that they're amazing individually, but I think they were the best pairing together. And now look at them doing well with Nashville. Zimmerman, LAFC, Romney, Galaxy. So I wonder what the stories are between them a little bit, huh? A little bit of banter between them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's fun stories to share. Man, so yeah, you just saying that, I foresee another long 90 minutes of Atlanta United trying to play through a defensive block, especially Nashville having conceded a goal in 400 minutes. We're at home, and Atlanta being a possession-based team. So, I'm not looking forward to that.
Let's see if you guys are able to breach the wall of the Romney-Zimmerman pairing.
Yeah.
Any other results or teams or anything that's standing out in the MLS for you?
Yeah, I mean the Columbus Crew game, man. They were having some issues. I believe before this weekend's game, Columbus Crew had only scored three goals in the regular season, and two of them were an own goal. So, who else but stepped up is Lucas El Arayan, scored two goals off a free kick, beautiful. So now you know Columbus looks like they're rocking and rolling, or at least in a better spot now. Whoa. So that one stood out.
That's the biggest shock of the whole MLS, right? Like Columbus Crew, we expected to come in and boss it again like they did last season, yeah. You know, coming off of being the MLS champions. And they've been struggling a little bit. And like you said, not being able to score the goals that they've kind of been known for. So, I mean, hats off to them for getting the win. Now, David, there's been controversy again with the Columbus Crew. You know, everything about their name, the new crest. I mean, what are your thoughts? I think they came out after a couple meetings and they said they're going to keep the crew name in the crest. Now, what are your thoughts about that back and forth switching?
My thoughts are that online bullying works.
Hey, apparently, right?
It's true. You know, we talked about it on the last podcast how a lot of teams are dropping, you know, whatever you want to call it, the mascot name and going for the traditional FC, SC, and Columbus Crew. It used to be just Columbus Crew, and then they added the SC, and then finally they decided to drop the Crew. And luckily, you know, I've talked about this with you, Obi, that I kind of like us having that because it gives us our uniqueness. It's an American thing. And a lot of folks, you know, Euro snobs are going to say that we're not a proper club if we have that. But I like the Crew. So well, I'm glad the fans stood up.
I think it's definitely a unique one. Like even for North America, like most of North America, right? Like Liga MX. They have their quote-unquote proper name, but they're all known by their mascots, you know? Tigres, Chivas, the Águilas, América, Pumas, yeah. All these guys, Rayados, they're known for their mascots. So I think it's not only just an American thing. It's more like a North American thing, right? Rojos, de Municipal de Guatemala, yeah. Cremas. All these teams have a nickname that they go by.
It's not in their name, though. Because they do that. I mean, obviously, like Manchester United is the Red Devils, right?
Yeah, but they're not referred to that as often.
Yeah, you're right. But I guess the key thing is that because remember with Columbus Crew, when they were going to drop it, they were still going to be referred to the Crew, but they just wasn't going to be in their name.
Yeah,
I guess. So what I'm saying is, are you fine with dropping it from their name and still being referred to it, or do you want to keep it in its name?
Yeah, I mean, I would keep it in its name because they were already the Columbus Crew. Now, if a new team comes out, I don't know, Charlotte, and they said we're going to be known as the... I don't know. What's good about Charlotte, dude? Give me an example.
It's an up-and-coming city, man.
Okay, so that's their hashtag, up-and-coming. The up-and-comers. and that's going to be what they're going to be known as? All right, that's fine because they're a new team and they were never fully known as their old name. But with the Columbus Crew, one of the OGs, I think it's fine. Are they going to rebrand their crest again? Or are they just going to add a crew to it?
I think they're just going to keep the logo the way it is. I think it's mainly just going to be the name, right?
Interesting. So Columbus Crew, they had to save the crew twice. So
yeah,
and maybe third time's a charm. Maybe the third time they're extinct. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, who knows what's going to happen once their new stadium is open. But it is kind of funny that they had to save the crew thing. And then, like, we save the crew. Now we're going to drop the crew name.
weird
decisions sometimes. Some other things that stood out for me from the weekend, and I think, man, this continues to happen. As long as we bring it up and talk smack, it just happens. So obviously LAFC was having issues on a scoring drought. Sure enough, they score. Rossi getting on, opening the scoring. Carlos Vela with an assist. And then FC Cincinnati, man, they were in a bad spot, and then they finally win too. So, shoot, I guess we need to just talk junk about our own teams, huh?
Apparently, and then maybe we'll start winning the MLS Cup. LAFC, I mean, yeah, they were able to bounce back versus Colorado. Colorado obviously hasn't been a strong team in the past, but actually this season they haven't been doing too bad. They were on a 3-game winning streak. So hats off to Colorado, I guess.
LAFC. They have Kaylin Acosta, too. I just found that out when I was watching the game.
You barely found that out. You know what, though? LAFC's, their back line still looks shaky, dude. Colorado had a couple opportunities to win the game. And I'm talking about, like clumsy look. You look like you're watching AYSO defenders out there. Pretty bad. So versus a better team, LAFC fans, still hold your breath a little bit. You're not out of the woods.
And those Colorado jerseys, man, green and white. I wasn't expecting that.
I know. I was kind of confused by it a little bit. But, yeah, and just like you said, we talk about it. They do better. So, obviously, FC Cincinnati finally picks up their win. It was a good win. And finally, after, what, 6 games? And not only FC Cincinnati picks up their win, but the Chicago Fire, dude, they were winless. And the Chicago Fire were scoreless, dude. They hadn't scored at all season. They finally won, but it was pretty funny because it was off of a mistake by Inter Miami's goalkeeper. It was a free kick that should have never gone in. And the goalkeeper, I don't know, maybe he had an OB moment and just let the ball in.
Yeah. Hey, all that matters is that it goes into the back of the net.
Yeah, I actually saw a TikTok and I sent it to you. It was like, when somebody asks if I play good, it's like, sometimes I'm shit, sometimes I'm good. But yeah, so another thing that stood out in the MLS, it's Bruce Arena, dude. New England keeps on rolling. We're rolling, rolling. New England,
rolling,
dude,
on the river.
Beat New York Red Bulls this past weekend. Their striker, Gustavo Bowe, man, he's been tearing it up, dude. He's like, exactly. He's like,
is
the,
he from South America?
Yeah, he is. He's like the unsung hero that no one knows, but he's just quietly putting in work for New England Revolution. And they're continuing. Let me ask you, do you think New England can keep this up and be cup contenders?
I don't see them keeping up this pace, but I mean, they're definitely in the mix for making it to the playoffs. They have 7 games where a lot of teams have 6. So just to keep that in mind, and you know, Orlando's got 12 points. They're on 14 points with 7 games played. Orlando's with 12 points, 6 games played. Philly's 11. So it's, everything's still pretty close. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't see New England keeping this up. But hey, who knows? You know, maybe Bruce has a magic touch.
Maybe. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk to you about, you know, these type of trends. Right now, you know, in the Eastern Conference, there's 3 teams at the bottom with only 1 win. We talked about 2, FC Cincinnati and Chicago. Chicago having a new young manager. Toronto is out down at the bottom as well, has a new manager, Chris Armas. Do you think Chris Armas should be in the hot seat?
Man, they have 1 win, huh?
1 win in the 7 games. They didn't do too well in the Champions League either.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to look pretty bad. And, you know, we talked about it that, you know, I don't think they should have let Vanny go. So they might be missing Vanny right about now. Yeah.
Well, he resigned. It was mutual.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So that's what me and my last girlfriend said.
But it's the same thing, you know. Look, next week, they're going to win, bro.
Toronto, they're going to go on a good winning streak. I'm like, hey, Chris Armas needs to win the next 2 games to get off the hot seat. Boom. Wins the next 2 games.
Exactly. It seems to happen every time.
It's the curse. Not the curse, I guess. It's the blessing of the commentator this time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's still early on, so I don't think anybody's too much in the hot seat yet. When I look at the East, from 9th place Inter Miami on 8 points all the way to 4th place Nashville with 10 points, there's only 2 points. Then you go from 9th to 4th. So everything's still pretty close. So now we're still, I think, in a couple more weeks where you start seeing teams really start to separate. And it's not too different from the West Coast either. LAFC's on 8 points at 9th place. And then you go all the way to 5th place with Colorado with 10. So you're only, you know, 2 wins away or 2 losses from things really shuffling around.
Yeah, you're right. So I don't know. We'll see what goes on. Austin is not in the bottom of the table, which is pretty good for them as an expansion team. But we'll see how they continue. They've only gotten 2 wins and 4 losses. So this upcoming week, it's not going to be easier for them. They play Seattle Sounders at Seattle, so
yeah, and the thing with Austin is obviously, you know, their stadium is opening up in I think like mid-June, so obviously all their games are away from home, so they got to get as many points as possible, obviously, and then they're gonna have a long stretch of home games.
I don't get it, dude. These expansion teams get awarded the franchises, have like 2 years, and somehow they never get their stadiums finished on time. Every single time an expansion team comes in, they're playing on the road for the first half of the season.
Yeah, and I think that's just like there's a decision to either wait to next year or start now. And I think they obviously have put a lot of money in. So they're like, you know what, F it. Let's just start playing at whatever stadium and or play away until the stadium's fixed to get cash in on that MLS money. So I guess I understand the financial aspect of it is, but it is bad for your team, a new expansion team that already do bad. And then you're also playing away from home for so long. So yeah. It's a double-edged sword.
Do you think that's why typically expansion teams do bad, though, being away from home for so long?
Yeah, I mean, that could play a factor for sure. I'd have to see, you know, how many expansion teams have had that scenario. But, I mean, I would say, you know, out of 10 expansion seasons, probably like 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. Was there anything else on the MLS would you like to add?
Oh man, that's all I got, mijo.
All right. Well, going into the counterparts of the NWSL, you know, they started in their second week of the season now. You know, a couple games racing. Louisville, which is a new expansion team for them, picked up the win against Washington Spirit. Then you have Orlando Pride beating North Carolina Courage, who used to be, they rebranded it. Remember, their male team used to be the Carolina Railhawks. Mm-hmm. Now they're North Carolina Courage on the women's side. I think North Carolina Football Club, but same colors. Then
what's a Railhawk?
Ask the Silverback supporters. And now it's our beloved team, Gotham FC. Unfortunately, we couldn't pick up the win. We tied 0-0 against the Chicago Red Stars. And yesterday, there was a pretty good game. Houston Dash versus Kansas City. Kansas City was down a man with the red card. And in the last minutes, they ended up tying it up to, you know, go 2-2 and getting the draw. So that was a pretty good. Is the stoppage time in the second minute. And the last game of the weekend in the NWSL, Olympic Lyon Rain, you know, who has a partnership with Olympic Lyon, beat Portland Thorns 2-1. And remember, Portland Thorns are the Challenge Cup winner, so it's a pretty impressive win. And then they kick off again on Wednesday, May 26th, with 3 games. So make sure you guys check it out, NWSL.
Yeah, and just for those of you that don't know, there's 10 teams in the NWSL. 6 of them make it to the playoffs, and the top 2 go straight to the semis. So right now, Racing Louisville and Orlando Pride have those 2 spots. But there's a 4-way tie right now with 4 points. Obviously, it's early in the season, so that's going to happen. And Gotham FC has one of those playoff spots currently.
Yeah, Gotham until I die.
We're top of the table. We're top of the league.
Yeah, dude. So make sure you guys check it out again on Paramount Networks. Make sure you guys are staying tuned. Some golazos this past weekend from Megan Rapinoe off a free kick as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. David, it's now time for your favorite subject. It's Americans Abroad.
Yeah, and this week we're gonna go even deeper to go to the college scene. And Obi was here. We were able to check that game out together. But the NCAA college soccer final. Unranked Marshall beats ranked Indiana. I believe they're ranked number 3 in an upset 1-0. It was a crazy goal. It was an overtime in college. I guess it's a golden goal, right?
Yeah, they still play golden goal in college, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. Hats off to Marshall, a program that is definitely not known for soccer. And whoever their coach is, I don't know his name, but hats off to him and turning that program around and winning their first title in their history.
Yeah, congrats. It's pretty cool where you can just score and then just run off the field.
Yeah, don't have to worry about anything else.
And yeah, all the fans came down too, so that was cool to see. You know, I've talked to OB about it, that it sucks because I didn't even know about it. We just kind of turned on to it. Maybe OB did, but I wish there was more noise around this, just like we hear about March Madness, and obviously college football is ginormous. So it would be fun to just see those games because it was a fun game to watch. It was exciting, and obviously because it's college football, it's a little sloppy, so you don't have these, you know, like rigid defenses that are just blocking in. So there's more fun to it and not a serious approach to normal soccer, you know, when you got like Man City playing, Newcastle. So hopefully that just continues to grow because I think a lot of Americans will gravitate towards that, especially with folks that just they'll support their college no matter what the sport, you know.
Yeah, hopefully more and more people tune in. That game was on ESPN2, so it was pretty cool to get it broadcasted on the national network.
Oh yeah,
I think like they're gonna slowly start to get more traction. It's obviously the college game, I think, was more profound back then. It actually, you know, most of our national team players came from there. Now it's a little bit less, but nonetheless, it's still Division I college athletics, right? So, David, what do you think they can do to kind of grasp someone like you who is a soccer fan, but maybe just doesn't pay attention enough to the college soccer world?
Yeah, I think, you know, with March Madness, with basketball, before, people never didn't really care much about college basketball. They changed it up where now they have this March Madness where you pull all the teams from, you know, you have them qualify in this tournament, and then you have them play games every day. So, and then anytime you can have a bracket in there, it just makes it even more exciting because
they do have a bracket. They just don't post it. It's the exact same as like March Madness.
It's just not advertised.
I guess not as much. Like they do post about it, but they don't have a specific, ESPN doesn't have a specific show covering college soccer. So do you think it's kind of the responsibility of the network again to kind of give it the attention it needs, or the NCAA needs to pump more money in and create their own shows about it?
Yeah, that goes into a deeper conversation, because obviously we've talked about, you know, how the women athletics are treated differently than the men athletics. But even within men athletics, you have obviously football, basketball give more attention to like soccer, lacrosse. Yeah. So it really depends if the money's there to make an investment. And that's the thing. To the college to decide.
Soccer isn't a money sport, and we obviously know it. It's not going to bring, you know, tons of money into the college, which is why the resources are a lot lower.
Yeah, I don't really know the answer. Maybe it's a combination of the NCAA, maybe partnering with the U.S. Soccer Federation. That would be kind of cool to see what they could come up with. But it all depends if the money's there. And, you know, hopefully it just continues to grow. As we always say, we're always trying to grow the game in America. So that may be another avenue.
Yeah, I do think U.S. Soccer does need to partner with the NCAA on that one.
Yeah, that'd be good. Hey, get MLS while you're at it. That'd be dope, too. Hey, really quick, not to put you on the spot, can you just, if you know it, do you know some of the top college schools when it comes to soccer?
On the men's side?
Yes.
So on the men's side, obviously Stanford, they've been doing really well. A couple years back, they won 3 out of 4 national titles, so they went back-to-back, and then they skipped a year, and they won one. There's also, obviously, UCLA's been hurting lately, but they used to be a top contender. Gonzaga's usually up there. Wake Forest, Washington. Washington's been up there these past couple years. So those are just a couple off the top of my head. On the women's side,
Duke, Notre Dame too.
They're okay. On the women's side, it's University of North Carolina has the most wins at national championship. That's where, like, basically think of any U.S. legend women's national team basically played there under Andy Dorrance. Think I got his name right. And then
look at you.
This year, actually, the national champions are Santa Clara University from California. So another not so big program won it. And then it's pretty cool to see that as well.
Yeah, impressive, mijo. I like it. There's a lot of knowledge in that brain. You wouldn't know if I'm looking at you, but it's there.
A lot of knowledge and a lot of comida too. A lot of food. What do you think about speaking about U.S. soccer and MLS? You know, for those of you guys that don't know, MLS has basically a marketing company that they own that's called SUM. They were involved with U.S. soccer, basically working hand-in-hand to even advertise all the U.S. games. They were critiqued very often that U.S. soccer would basically do whatever was beneficial for the MLS rather than soccer as a whole. Now they've announced when their contract ends in 2022, they'll part ways, and U.S. soccer will now bring all media rights and all that marketing in-house. So what do you think about that?
So this partnership was a 20-year partnership, and like Obi mentioned, there was a lot of critiques about conflicting interests because the marketing firm, Don Garber is a CEO. So obviously Don Garber is the CEO. I mean, the president of MLS, the commissioner of MLS. It is conflicting issues, even though they say it's not. But yeah, if you got the same owner of both, there's going to be conflicting. So I think it's good from that standpoint, because that's, I think in this lawsuit that the Division II and III teams filed against the U.S. Soccer Federation, that was one of the main things they had agreed on. Some of the drawbacks I've heard is that some contribute something like $300 million to the U.S. Soccer Federation. So I'm not positive, you know, how that's going to be recouped or, you know, how that money actually works. I still think it's beneficial because, I mean, you just have something for 20 years. You got Don Garber on it. I think you need something different and that you don't have all those conflicting interests. What do you think about it?
Yeah, like you said, it definitely is going to give a new look. Maybe it's the new era of U.S. soccer. Maybe they open up a lot more and focus a little bit more on the development of U.S. soccer. Maybe that even impacts the youth game, right? Where we actually understand which league is the top league. Right now, we kind of just open up leagues left and right. Anybody can open up a league, including yourself, David, and just say it's throw the word elite in there and you're good, dude.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. It definitely can make an impact. But like you said, it's going to be interesting because now U.S. soccer has to open up. I think it's going to be like double digits job wise, you know, so more job opportunity, but it's definitely going to be more cost for U.S. soccer. But I think separating themselves will open up the dialogue with the rest of the professional teams in the league, right? So you allow, you know, the second division, the third division teams to kind of maybe see it as a move in the right direction and maybe open up more dialogue about how we can, you know, 20 years down the road, get promotion relegation.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll be able to get a lot of that money from partnerships with other media outlets or whatever it may be. So obviously they wouldn't make this decision with not knowing where they're going to get their money from.
Yeah, I kind of want to bring that up, that Bruce Arena stated that he said U.S. soccer, like on the state of U.S. soccer, has become very, very political. And Hercules Gomez and I forgot the other gentleman's name on ESPN FC talked about everywhere else, like, why is Bayern Munich so successful? Because the main guy, the president, is a former soccer player who has won countless championships, had multiple successes as a player or former coach. In U.S. soccer, our president, they have nothing to do with soccer. Like, they just like soccer, but they don't have any experience in it. And that's why they're saying potentially they make only financial moves rather than what's better for soccer in general. You know, like they were saying, the Bayern Munich president, although he needs to make money, he's not going to make a financial move if it's going to hinder their soccer. So what do you think about that? Do you think we need to put a paid position for the president? Because right now it's volunteer. And I think the current guy is like a lawyer, or the former guy was a lawyer. So do you think we need to put actual soccer specific people in those positions?
To answer your first question, yes, it should be a paid position, because as long as it's not paid, you're only going to get the wealthiest that can do that job, that can afford not getting a salary to do it. So obviously that needs to be a paid position. Your second question, I think this goes back to the same thing as a soccer player, pro soccer player becoming a coach, right? Just because you know the game and you love the game, you play the game, doesn't necessarily mean you're the right person for the job. So I think the best of both worlds is to have somebody that does have a background in soccer, but also has that business savvy, because you need both. I mean, somebody that just played, like, can you imagine a Maradona making a decision of where Argentinian soccer should go forward?
I definitely think it, put somebody there that after their playing career, you know, they've served as a director somewhere, they've gone and they've earned a business degree, or they've served, you know, they need some sort of experience. But I definitely think more soccer specific, or maybe even somebody that didn't have a huge playing career but has served in, you know, the front office roles for soccer clubs, you know, for a long, long time. Because I think I think Don Garber himself isn't a soccer man. Now he is because of so many years, but I don't think he's soccer.
But then again, I don't think we'd be where we're at without Don Garber, right?
I'm not saying he did a bad job. I'm just saying he's not soccer specific.
Yeah, you're right. I'm saying that I think the best is to have the best of both worlds and to have a well-rounded person that has both soccer and the business IQ.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kind of speaking on U.S. soccer a little bit more, the U.S. men's national team has released their 23-man roster. Any standouts? Anything that shocked you? Any big notable misses?
It looks like we're going young, which has been the direction. No Bradley or Altidor, which I think most U.S. fans would probably be dancing in the streets. And it's funny because for the under-23 call-up, I feel like this is probably in that same breath that, you know, the United players didn't get called up, because obviously they were called up for the U-23 and they had turned it down because of the Champions League. So obviously no call up for Miles Robinson, George
They're
Bello.
Just not good enough, dude.
You watch your mouth. Although, yeah, now that I'm looking at it, you know, do you think Zimmerman should be on this as a defender?
I think so. I think Walker Zimmerman has made a point. But
over Tim Ream or Anthony Robinson?
Yeah, Tim Ream's still getting the call up, which is very interesting. Robinson is fine because he's a younger guy. But, yeah, I think Walker Zimmerman needs to be up there. Unless it's a type of thing where maybe he thinks Walker Zimmerman doesn't have the pace. Because if you look at it, all these guys, they're very, very fast besides Matt Miazga. Because Tim Ream isn't the fastest, but I think he's still faster than Zimmerman. That could be the choice. My interesting one that keeps popping up, and I'm a huge
Obi. Really quick, do you want to just let our fans know what's the call up is when they haven't seen it?
All 23.
Really quick, man. It takes like 5 seconds.
All right, here we go. Are you ready for 23 under 23? No, I'm just kidding. goalkeepers, you got Ethan Horvath, who plays in the Belgium league. David Ochoa from Real Salt Lake. Zach Steffen, Manchester City goalkeeper. Defenders, you have John Brooks, who plays with Wolfsburg in Germany. Reggie Cannon, who used to play here in the U.S. but now is in Portugal. You have Serginho Dest, Mark McKenzie, who plays in Belgium as well. Matt Miazga, Belgium. Tim Ream, Antoine Robinson, both from Fulham. DeAndre Yedlin from Galatasaray in Turkey. Then in the midfielders, you have Kellen Acosta, played for Colorado Rapids. Tyler Adams, who needs no introduction. We love the boy Sebastian Lletget from the biggest club in the MLS, LA Galaxy. Weston McKennie, obviously from Juventus. Yunus Musa from Valencia. Jackson Ural from San Jose Earthquakes. And then the forwards are Brennan Aaronson from Salzburg, who played well here in Philadelphia Union as well. Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, and Josh Sargent. And then you have, I'm going to butcher this name, Jordan Sebechu from Young Boys in Switzerland. And then Timothy Weah from Lille in France.
Well done. Well done. Catch your breath. Take a sip of water.
I'm out of shape, dude.
So, yeah, it's obviously a very heavy European-based team, which always seems to be the case.
Why do you think he continues calling up Sebastian Lletget? Like, unbiased, I think he performs well with the national team, but he sees something in him because a lot of times he still gets a start over these other big names.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because, yeah, every time Sebastian Lletget gets a call-up, he ends up performing and playing well. So, I mean, as long as you keep doing it, I mean, you're pressing the coach. That's all it takes.
Yeah, agree. What do you think about this? I haven't heard of him before, this young boy, Jordan Sebechu.
Yeah, I haven't heard of him, nor have I heard of, I haven't heard of Mark McKenzie either.
I've heard of Mark McKenzie.
Yeah, those two is the ones I have heard of, so I really don't know what to think of it.
Hey, your beloved goalkeeper, Brad Guzan, didn't make the list.
You bastard.
But that's the 23 coming up for the Nations League and, of course, a couple friendlies before that. So, obviously, the Nations League is still a new tournament that all of us still don't have a full grasp on what's going on with it. It's kind of just it's a Nations League game. Again, what it was designed for was there's a lot of clubs that weren't or not clubs, a lot of international teams that weren't getting enough games yearly, you know, just playing friendlies two or three times. For example, Guatemala only going to play friendlies because they're not usually in the qualifying or the World Cups or those Gold Cups, right? So they weren't able to land big name sponsors because the sponsors don't want to sponsor a team that they're only going to see six times a year or seven times a year. So this Nations League is like glorified friendlies, but to make it more competition-based, to allow these type of nations to get more funding by sponsorships. So should be a good one.
So it is the finals. So it's the final four teams, and it's the U.S. plays Honduras on Thursday, June 3rd, and Mexico play against Costa Rica at same time. So a doubleheader at 10, and then you go to your third place in finals. So we have a chance to see another meetup between U.S. and Mexico.
U.S.A.
Hey, how come we don't have we have El Tráfico, El Clásico, all this crap. How come we don't have one between Mexico and U.S.?
What do you mean?
It's like
name?
One of the big. Yeah, like
it is. It's a Clásico.
That's just the Clásico. That's
yeah.
it.
It's like everything's called a Clásico, dude.
I think we need a better name.
Come up with one, and then we'll start hashtagging it.
Okay, I'm gonna. I'll ask our fans what they think.
Let us know your thoughts. What should we call Mexico versus U.S.?
Nothing racist either.
Keep it clean. But David, I know Americans abroad, we went into depth. Now for the rest of the world, go ahead and start us off.
First of all, are you sad that all the leagues in Europe are play their last games? Or are you like, whatever?
I am. I am a little bit sad. You know, no waking up early, seeing the EPL games. That was basically the only one I watched anyways. At the same time, I'm not, because now, you know, all those fans don't have anything to do. Maybe they're tuning in and watching an MLS game.
I hope so. But, yeah, I like turning it on while I took a dump and took a shower and got ready, had the game on. So that was always – you had something to watch early in the mornings.
Yeah, because it was super – well, at least on the West Coast, it's super early. You know, you wake up at 7, 8 a.m., you have a game. Yeah. And then so you're enjoying a nice coffee, you know, getting your day started, watching a little Premier League, you know. It was a good time.
It reminds me of remember that Ted Lasso intro where he's like drunk in the morning at the bar.
Oh yeah,
sleep watching the ETL games.
Ted Lasso season 2, dude. I'm excited.
It'll come out to next year, though.
Pretty much.
if you're a soccer fan and you haven't seen Ted Lasso, freaking watch it. It's worth pay Apple TV for a month or two and watch all the episodes, because it's hilarious. It's funny, and I mean, it's just the soccer stuff is cool. Like it's fun to watch. It's a good watch. It's not lame.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'll go ahead and get started. Do our trip around Europe. We'll start with Ligue 1. PSG is no longer the champion. That goes to Lil. Say what? And that goes to Lil and Timothy Weah, baby.
An American, another championship for the Americans, huh? We're doing well this year. You got the Premier League. You got the FA Cup. You almost had La Liga. Freaking Barcelona had to kill it. And then you got Liga on Timothy Weah.
Yep. So awesome. I always like seeing somebody other than the big clubs win the league year in and year out. Yeah. So just to round up, so in France, top two teams go to the Champions Leagues, which is Lille and PSG. Third place team goes to the Champions League qualifiers. That's Monaco. And then the next two teams go to the Europa League. So that's Lyon and Marseille.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because I don't see a spot on this for the Conference League. Not yet, right? The Conference League is going to be introduced soon. But I want to kind of talk, you know, I always got to brief on the coaches. You know, Lille's coach.
Here we go.
He took over in 2017. They were 18th place, about to be relegated, survived. Couple years later, knocks off PSG. Dude, what do you think about PSG firing Thomas Tuchel, because he was a couple points out of first place? Now Thomas Tuchel is obviously in the Champions League final. Brought in Mauricio Pochettino, and he still didn't get the job done.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, they screwed up.
I mean, that's literally your, like, that. It's not even like you're striving to win the league. It's an expectation, right, for PSG.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, let's face it, PSG is not going to get any glory until they win the Champions League, and that doesn't seem to be happening for them. But yeah, it is funny, you fire a coach for them for barely missing out on something, and then the next year they completely miss it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, not even the next year. He got fired a couple games in, so
yeah.
Interesting to see what's going on.
So, and you know, most European leagues, the last three teams get relegated. They actually have a relegation playoff for their 18th team. Nobody's going to know these teams, but Dijon, I just wanted to say, because it's the mustard, they're getting relegated.
That's the only reason you're like, Dijon?
Yeah.
How long did you practice that little accent, huh?
I have it, bro. I took French in high school. I got a B minus. I slept the whole time.
Yeah, right.
I was like, it's close enough to Spanish, I should be able to do well. All right, let's go to the Bundesliga. So we all knew Bayern won it a long time ago, even though people would be like, oh man, Dortmund or Leipzig might win it. Not not even close when it comes to the end of it. Bayern 78 points, Leipzig with 65, and Dortmund with 64 points. But just to round up the top, 4-4 go to the Champions League. So Bayern, Leipzig, Dortmund, Wolfsburg, all will be in the Champions League next year. The other teams will go to the Europa League group stage. So we have Eintracht Frankfurt and Leverkusen. And the relegation, man, you have Werder Bremen and Schalke getting relegated. So those are some pretty big clubs that are getting relegated.
Man, Schalke getting relegated is a big shock, huh?
Bro, Schalke has 16 points and Werder Bremen, that's also getting relegated, has 31 points.
That sucks. That's a huge difference.
They used to be in the Champions League, bro.
I know. Way back when Jermaine Jones was there. Werder Bremen, obviously that one hurts because Josh Sargent is on that team. Remember we talked about a little while back on the episodes that he was the leading goal scorer with like 2 goals or something like that, 3 goals. So
it all makes sense now.
Kind of makes sense why they're getting relegated this year. So I don't know. Hopefully he gets sold to a better team and maybe stays up, but yeah, I don't want to see him playing there.
His ginger ass has to get out of there ASAP.
Yep. And going to the Serie A, obviously we knew who won it, Inter Milan. But just to round it up, Champions League spots, Inter Milan, AC Milan, Atalanta, Juventus snuck in there, dude.
Barely
to sneak in. Napoli and Lazio will be going to the Europa League. Relegated will be the three bottom teams, Benevento, Croente, and Parma. So that's what's going on in the Serie A. Now for the more important one.
Really quick. What do you think is going to happen with Pirlo? Barely make it to a Champions League spot and you lose the league for the first time in 9 years?
Dude,
and you get knocked out early in the Champions League?
Supposedly they said that they're going to keep him. But I think he's over his head.
And Ronaldo, se va a quedar? He stay?
Supposedly, dude, there was a report that his cars were moved at like 3 a.m. out of Turin. So they said kind of the way he moved from Madrid was the same way that he moved it. Those cars were moved. So I think he's gone.
Yeesh. Wow. All right, man. Going on to the EPL, you want to do it since it's your
come
baby.
Come on, City. Come on, City.
You guys won the league like 2 months ago.
It's all right. And we're playing in the Champions League final. So obviously Man City champions. It was a pretty wild weekend because Leicester City were in fourth place, the top four, like all year long. And they coughed it up.
I didn't know how to feel about it because they were winning against Tottenham 2-1. And they were in that fourth spot. And they ended up losing 4-2.
I know.
So obviously, it's good from an American perspective because that allowed Chelsea to get that Champions League spot. So Pulisic will be there next year, so long as he stays with Chelsea. But heartbreak for Leicester. Watching that game, you can see how tense the fans were, and to lose it 4-2, that sucks. But they'll at least, go to the Europa League.
Yeah.
So they get European action.
Yep, and Champions League remaining Man City, Man U, Liverpool, they like David said, Chelsea, Leicester City, and West Ham. West Ham is in the Europa League.
So, let's go. We're going to see a lot more fights now.
Forever blowing bubbles. But it's good. Some good news that came out is that reportedly, Marcelo Bielsa will be signing a new contract with Leeds United, so we'll be able to see him a little bit longer in the Premier League.
Dope. Now I can mispronounce his name more often.
This is like the longest he's actually been at a club for a while. He usually stays like 2 years and bounces.
And relegated teams, Fulham, West Brom, and Sheffield. It kind of sucks with Fulham. We have Tim Ream and Anthony Robinson.
Sheffield United.
Oh, God.
Got to clarify, bro.
But yeah, Fulham, we have Tim Ream and Anthony Robinson that are Americans that are going to get relegated. So we'll see what happens with them if they stay and go to the championship or if they jump ship.
Yeah, a lot of highs with championships and a lot of lows, huh?
Yeah, I got friends in low places.
Yeah, stick to what is it that you do?
I run a podcast, bro. Soccer podcast, the best podcast in the world.
Shopping.
All right, we saved La Liga for last because there was a pretty intense title race all the way to the end. But guess who came out on top? Atletico Madrid.
What a boss.
I thought they were going to blow it. And who else to score the goal? the go-ahead goal by Luis Suarez, dude. Tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, Barcelona's definitely shaking their heads in disgust. You know, Luis Suarez, he was crying. He was so happy. Obviously, a little bit sad that the way it went down, that he left Barcelona. But congrats to Luis Suarez. Congrats to Atletico Madrid. Yeah, well done. Well done.
Yeah. And they were down 1-0, I believe, too. So Atletico had to come back to win it 2-1. And yeah, and now you have Real with in second place and Barcelona third, Sevilla in fourth. They'll all be going to the Champions League. And then you got Real Sociedad and Real Betis that will be in the Europa League.
And tell us who got relegated.
Huesca, Valladolid, and Eibar.
Interesting.
So Valladolid, are they kind of a big club?
Decent. No, not really.
Yeah. But I like. I'm a Barcelona fan, but I just like seeing somebody else win other than
you know Barcelona, who owns Valladolid, though, right? I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Valladolid.
You know who owns it, right?
Who?
The great Ronaldo.
Cristiano or
Ronaldo? Did I say Cristiano, bro? Oh. I said Ronaldo.
There's only one Ronaldo.
Yep, and supposedly he offered, because they played the last game versus Atletico Madrid, he offered his players, like, I think 130,000 each if they were to beat Atletico Madrid. Because he wanted Real Madrid to win the league.
Damn, I thought you said he was going to offer that heat suit up for them.
Imagine, that dude's bigger than I am right now.
Hey, he's got a thyroid issue. hey, really quick before we move on, shout out to the Liga Nacional de Guatemala, Santa Lucia de Cotzumalguapa beat Comunicaciones
That was a hell of a final, huh? Did you see that? Bro.
Yeah, it was aggregate 5-6.
So in Guatemala they played two legs in the final, and the Santa Lucia was playing home first leg. They win 4-0. You think final's over, right? No. Comunicaciones goes back home, is winning 5-0, winning 5-0. So they're going to be the champions in aggregate. And then Santa Lucia gets a red card in the 85th minute, down 5-0. So you think definitely and it's over. In the 90th minute stoppage time, they score two goals to win the championship. That's insane.
That's Guatemalan soccer.
If that's not CONCACAF, I don't know what is.
Dude, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Santa Lucia got promoted this year.
They might have. I think they might have, actually.
Yeah, so that's crazy, man, that you just go from getting promoted to beating one of the top teams in Guatemala.
What's pretty cool is that in recent last 4 or 5 years, because before that, look, there's two teams in Guatemala that are the champions, Cremas and Rojos. They have like 30 championships each. But in recent years, Gustatoya won one. Antigua has won a couple. Santa Lucia now. And I think... Last final, another random team was in it too. So, Guatemalan soccer, huh? A lot of investment in small clubs.
It's fun to watch if you like seeing crazy soccer.
Yeah, I agree. Well, going into David's other favorite part, moment of the week. David, do you have a stud for us this week?
I do have a stud, and I mentioned it at the beginning during the MLS roundup. Lucas Zelarayan, the Argentinian for Columbus Crew. Two goals off a free kick. I mean, what could you say? Those are beautiful free kicks. I wish that LN United had somebody like him that can score. Dude, we get so many free kicks and set pieces that we never score on.
His first goal free kick was insane. Like, even Sean Johnson in goal just, like, looked at it and he was like it was a rocket. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't even react. It was great. It was from, I would say, probably, what, 25 yards out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty good. The second one right on the 18, just curls.
Game winner too.
Yep, in top left corner. I mean, what can you say about that? He knows how to take them. And
what can you say?
Definitely
needs. You're welcome.
Welcome. Columbus Crew definitely needed those goals. So props to him. He's a beast.
All right, and I'll take away the dud of the week. As much as I criticize David for always choosing goalkeepers. There's three players this week. I just couldn't decide between them. Two goalkeepers, one Inter Miami goalkeeper. We talked about it earlier. Chicago took a shot off a free kick. I guess he mistimed it. He dove and it kind of like bounced over him. It was very weird. He should have stopped it. Then the second one goes to New York Red Bulls goalkeeper who played New England Revolution. It was one of those that the player was dribbling down, you know, inside the box towards the goal on the end line. And the player shot and the goalkeeper guessed, thinking it was a cross on the ground, and it went in near post. So two duds. And then this last one, Montreal forward, Romel Kyoto. Dude, they get a breakaway from like half field, 2v1 against the goalkeeper. You know, I forgot who gave the pass, but he's dribbling in, does everything correctly, passes it back to him, open net, dude, like 2 yards away, and somehow he misses it wide. He ended up in the back of the net, but the ball didn't. It was insane.
Oh, man.
If you have a chance, we'll put that link in, but that was bad.
That reminds me of the one. I think there was one where it was the ball was bouncing the goal line, and Kai Kamara, I think it ended up on one of the like MLS bloopers, where he goes to like kick it in and he misses, and then he hits the ball with his hand, and the ball goes in the net. But obviously, it's called back for a handball, and there was like nobody there except him.
Wow, so. Wow. And those are the bad ones because people are gonna get them and be like, "Oh, look, the MLS sucks." But then if you look at Raheem Sterling, he's missed a couple like that as well.
Yeah, we don't say the duds just to, like, you know, crap on MLS. We just like calling out crazy duds from around the world. Obviously, we watch MLS the most, so that has a highest chance of it ending up on our dud of the week. But yeah, those happen all around the world. The best players in the world have these crazy moments.
Yeah, agreed. Well, guys,
look up Beckham penalty kick miss. You'll laugh your ass off.
Well, guys, thanks for another exciting week. I really enjoyed this episode. I know we can talk. I know we can rant, but I hope you guys really enjoyed it. As always, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow the thread on Reddit. Email us info@thesundayfootball.com. As always, guys, stay blessed.
Like, subscribe, share the podcast, and Obi's guaranteeing there won't be any technical issues this week.
I guarantee that your satisfaction will be guaranteed. It's our guarantee.
All right. Peace, all right, y'all.
Bye.
It's been real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out weekly. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out via email or on any of our social media platforms. Bye. Have a good week.